Blog Talk Radio.
It is not to me you must pray, but to God. I am nothing. I am only the instrument that God has chosen to prove his existence. Pray to God every morning. Thank him for giving you another day to live in this world filled with wonders. Pray to God when you are happy and when you are in pain. But above all, pray to God that he fills your heart with the strength to be soldiers of Christ, to defend your homes, to defend your traditions, to defend your faith. Because very soon, this is what we will have to do. Defend our faith.
That, ladies and gentlemen, was the sermon of Blessed Marco di Aviano, used in the most amazing movie I have seen in this modern time of ours, called The Day of the Siege. It is about the siege of Vienna. And it is very inspiring. Today's show deals with this exact sermon, because Islam is once again trying to take over Europe. They will continue to do so until Christendom falls. We are already seeing signs of parts of Europe falling to Islam. And once Europe falls, if the Republicans who support Donald Trump do not win in this midterm election, I can guarantee Islam will try to take over the United States, as they tried through working with the Barack Obama White House. We see it in the UK. Weak, terribly weak governments. And weak governments in the local governments, allowing Islam to take over their cities, allowing the police force to protect Islam, to institute Sharia law, to attack their own citizens who defend their heritage, defend their culture. We see this on a massive scale in the British Army, where the young soldiers, and all soldiers who signed up to fight and protect the realm, are now being threatened with expulsion because they defend and support Tommy Robinson and others who defend and stand up for the British heritage. Now the soldiers have to go by Soldier X. If you're listening, Tommy, and to any of your friends and followers, I urge you to run for Parliament in a very military-friendly town and win. Stop the spread of Islam. To the Polish government, to the Hungarian government, to the conservative government of Austria, to the conservative government of Italy, when will you unite and save Europe once again? Because these socialist governments are destroying Europe. They are using the deadly and illegal European Union to destroy Europe, to destroy our heritage, our faith. When will you work together to save Europe? And today is the feast of St. Luke the Evangelist, and he's also a medical doctor. Excuse me. So if you have health problems, pray to St. Luke. Ask through his intercession through God to heal you. Also ask Marco, Blessed Marco di Aviano, through his intercession. Now we get to our stories I picked out last night. First one comes from the Dutch. Published 16 October 2018, 2 days ago. The Theosophian School in Amsterdam decided to replace the traditional Easter Christian breakfast their school has always put on and replaced it with the Islamic sugar holiday, reported by the newspaper De Telegraaf. According to the school, it wants to give more attention to traditions of other cultures. A letter from the school came into the hands of Dutch news outlet Gingster and Paladin. The letter says that several day care volunteers will help during this year's Islamic sugar holiday. During the celebration of the Islamic holiday, the children in class will be told what the feast is and why it is being celebrated. This way we hope to celebrate a different holiday with the children, the letter says. The development at the Amsterdam school fits within a framework that parts of the city are Islamizing quickly, or in mainstream media terms, making room for diversity. In August this year, it became clear how Amsterdam Mosque harbored radicalized Muslims who wanted to join ISIS. Another eye-opener is that a Muslim-majority party in the largest, in the New West part of the city, their leader even told Dutch people to leave their country if they don't like diversity. The party sometimes defend Turkish President Erdogan's policies and refuse to recognize the Amsterdam genocide, the Armenian genocide as well. How part of the Amsterdam Islamicized in a few decades becomes clear in an article written by the highly educated inhabitant who had to move from a suburb. The house I was living in overlooked a school playground. Around 2005, I first noticed young girls of around 6 years of age being garbed in totally black full body covering dresses, including black headscarves. Nearly all the mothers, with a few exceptions, wore headscarves and dark full body covering dresses. It truly looked like a scene from Iran or Pakistan, but it certainly was no longer the same Dutch neighborhood as when I had moved in, he said in his article. My fellow Flemish people, the Netherlands, the Dutch, what are you doing? To the Catholics of the Dutch, to the governments there, don't you realize the dangers you are putting yourself into by accepting and allowing your communities to be overrun, not by peaceful Muslims who don't want to live by the Quran, but by the hardcore Islamists who support ISIS and other terrorist organizations? Don't you understand? You cannot compromise with these hardcore believers. It's either you give them all, or you don't give it to them. You cannot compromise with these terrorists. As they said, if you don't like what we're doing here, then leave. That is exactly what they want you to do. Or they either want you to convert, deny Christ, and worship their pagan god. Yes, I said pagan. As I mentioned in the beginning, the soundbite we heard was the sermon of Blessed Marco di Aviano. When you watch this movie, The Day of the Siege, you will perfectly understand that Islam and Christianity are not compatible. Islam, they have soothsayers, witches, before they go into battle. They visit these soothsayers to see what their outlook will be, or divination, which is a sin. So the God of Islam is not the God of us Christians. Now let's look to another news story here. This one comes from Germany. Germany just released a 9/11 terrorist attack accomplice. After only 12 years in prison. Where is he going? He's going back to Morocco, where they are free to re-enter the battlefield, to re-enter and begin planning new attacks on the West. He should have been in prison for the rest of his life. Or as the article from the Daily Mail says, 2,996 years behind bars. What's worse, I'm watching the video right now. Germany gave him a helicopter ride back to Morocco. You can watch the same video on the show page by clicking the link about Germany just released the 9/11 terror attack accomplice. Until Angela Merkel and her socialist Christian Democrats are fully removed from the German government and no longer have any power, until the alternate for Deutschland finally takes over, gets integrated into every part of the German government, we can only hope and pray all this nonsense, supporting terrorism, allowing ISIS commanders to roam the streets on Germany, will end. What you don't hear on the news is that ISIS is still around. You'll hear the phrase, "We have demolished ISIS." Yeah, in large parts, U.S. military did demolish ISIS. But not all of it. As the Gatestone Institute report, Muslim invasion of Europe, a lot of the ISIS commanders and normal field soldiers took off their military clothing, put on the clothing of refugees, taken fake papers, and went into Europe. And there are still some pockets of ISIS in Iraq, in Syria, that the media does not want to report, either in Europe or in the United States. And what's even worse, a few months ago, reading from Voice of Europe News, that follows me on my Ordemilitares radio account on Twitter before I got locked out. To Christians and Yazidis who fled for safety into Germany are now having to flee Germany Because the same guys who captured him in the first place are walking the streets with them. And so they are having to flee once again. This time they're having to flee Germany, which is in Europe, not Syria or Iraq. So when will the conservatives in Europe, who are just like President Trump, when will they unite and stop this mess, stop this huge nightmare started by the European Union, who is also pushing the same nightmare on the United States? That's why the election for the midterms is highly important. We must keep the House and keep the Senate and kick out the Democrats. The Democrats get power in the House or Senate or both. Their friends in the European Union will continue to push and push, and we won't have a way to stop them. So vote Republican in the midterm elections. Now we go to the next news story, which is the real reason Ortamel Terrace is founded. Another elderly priest, this time from the United States, went to France. He was still safe on the airplane, but once he left the airplane, bad things happened. An 82-year-old American priest brutally beaten minutes after he arrived in France. Another shameful moment in today's Europe, especially for France, as an elderly priest was brutally beaten, even needed to be hospitalized, was robbed and beaten just after his first steps in France. From the newspaper's Le Progrès reports. Last Friday night, around 10 p.m., the elderly man arrived in southern France at Lyon's Depardieu train station. With his map in hands, the priest was looking for his hotel when a man offered to help him find it. The man lured him to an isolated location outside the station and beat him violently to steal his satchel. The priest was hit on the head and robbed of his bag, which contained his money, passport, and plane tickets. The elderly man had facial injuries, requiring stitches, and was hospitalized overnight. The next day, with the help of the police and the U.S. Embassy, the priest was allowed to spend the night at his hotel, the Novotel Depardieu in Lyon, despite police efforts to attackers. Was not found. This is why Ordo Militaris is founded. Because of what happened to Father Jacques Amel. And now to this elderly priest from the United States. This will continue to happen until all of us Catholics unite by joining Ordo Militaris Catholicus. Here we can offer to our Catholic brethren, to the Catholic priests and bishops, and to our other Christian brethren, peace, security, and defense. Which we can do legally. That is why we push for donations. That is why we push for investments. When we did the Lepanto flag as an investment to help you invest with us, we were hoping that by you moved by the Lepanto flag, by what it represents in Catholic history, in Catholic military history, you would invest with us to do what our ancestors did in Lepanto, to protect our Christian brethren. But instead, all it made you want is another flag. As Brother Alexis said in our first show back, we are not a flag company. We did that to help persuade you to invest with us, to give you something of Catholic military history, something that you can feel and grasp and use if you have a flagpole, to help you remember what our ancestors did at Lepanto in defeating the Islamic invasion. We need that same spirit today. To those who are members of Ordo Militaris, push for recruitments. Push for donations. Push for investments. Pray daily for the renewal of the spirit of Lepanto back into our Catholic hearts. Now, finally, we're going to revisit the first ever Gatestone Institute report we did here on Ordo Militaris Radio. I'll just read the article to you. Can I still focus here? The flow of illegal migrants does not stop. They land on the Greek islands along the Turkish coasts. They still try to get into Hungary, despite a razor wire fence and mobilized army. The destination is Germany or Scandinavia, sometimes France or the UK. Some of them still arrive from Libya. Since the beginning of January, more than 620,000 have arrived by sea alone. There will undoubtedly be many more. A leaked secret document estimates that by the end of December, there might be 1.5 million. And this report was written in 2015. That is more than the Allied invasion of Normandy by 0.5 million folks. Get that through your head. 1 million invaded Normandy to stop the German Nazi war machine. In this report, in 2015, it says by the end of December of 2015, there will be 1.5 million invaders. That's right, I call them invaders, for which they are. The article continues. The journalists in Western Europe continue to depict them as refugees fleeing war in Syria. The description is false. According to statistics released by the European Union, only 25% of them come from Syria. The true number is probably lower. The Syrian government sells passports and birth certificates at affordable prices. The vast majority of migrants come from other countries: Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Eritrea, Somalia, and Nigeria. Many do not seem to have left in a hurry. Many bring new high-end smartphones and large sums of cash, tens or 20,000 euros, sometimes more. Many have no passports, no ID, and refuse to give fingerprints. Whenever people flee to survive, men come with whole families, women, children, elders. Here instead, more than 75% of those who arrive are men under the age of 50. Few are women, children, or elders. As Christians are now the main targets of Islamists, the Jews fled and were forced out decades ago. The people escaping the war in Syria should be largely composed of Christians. But Christians are a small minority among those who arrive. They often hide that they are Christians. Those who enter Europe are almost all Muslims and behave as some Muslims often do in the Muslim world. They harass Christians and attack women. In reception centers, harassing Christians and attacking women are workday incidents. European women and girls who live near reception centers are advised to take care and cover up. Rapes, assaults, stabbings, and other crimes are on the rise. Western political leaders could tell the truth and act accordingly. They do not. They talk of solidarity, humanitarian duty, compassion. From the beginning, Chancellor Angela Merkel of Germany said that illegal migrants were welcome. She seemed to change her mind for a moment, but quickly slid back. In France, President François Hollande says the same things as Angela Merkel. Excuse me, dry mouth. After the heartbreaking image of a dead child being carried on a Turkish beach was published, thousands of Germans and French initially spoke the same way as their leaders. Their enthusiasm seems to have faded fast. The people of Central Europe were not enthusiastic from the beginning. Their leaders seemed to share the feelings of their populations. None spoke as explicitly as Viktor Orban, Prime Minister of Hungary. He said out loud what many of his countrymen seemed to think. He spoke of invasion and asked if there were another word to describe the massive and often brutal entry into a country of people who have not been invited to do so. Yet that a country has the right to decide who is allowed to enter its territory and to guard its borders. He stressed that those who enter Europe are from a different culture, suggested that Islam might not be compatible with European Judeo-Christian values. The Western European political leaders harshly condemned his remarks and the attitude of Central Europe in general. They decided to take a hard-line approach, including forcing recalcitrant countries to welcome migrants, setting up mandatory quotas that define how many immigrants each EU country must receive, and threatening those countries that decline to obey. Martin Schulz, president of the European Parliament, said that Europe was built in the spirit of burden sharing, and that EU breakup was a risk that could not be excluded. An acute division, in fact, is emerging between the leaders of Western Europe and the leaders of Central Europe. Another division is growing between the populations of Western Europe and their leaders. Those who rebuilt Europe after World War II thought that an enlightened elite themselves could make a clean sweep of the past and build a dream society where peace and perpetual harmony would reign, because they thought democracy had brought Hitler to power. They decided to restrict democracy because they thought nationalism was the cause of the war. They decreed that nationalism was harmful and that the cultural identities in Europe had to disappear and be replaced by a new European identity that they would shape. Because Europe had a colonist past and Europeans had believed in the superiority of their cultures, they claimed that Europe should redeem its guilt and affirmed that all cultures were equal. And because Islam was at the heart of the culture of people formerly colonized, the Europeans rejected all criticisms of Islam and said that it would blend smoothly into multicultural Europe. They did not demand the assimilation of Muslims who came to live in Europe in increasing number. Because Europeans thought poverty had led to the rise of Nazism, they built welfare states that were supposed to eliminate poverty forever. Because two world wars had started in Europe, the Europeans decreed that from now on, Europe would renounce the use of force and solve all conflicts through diplomacy and appeasement. We now see the results. European people still have the right to vote, but are deprived of the most of their power. All important political decisions in Europe are made behind closed doors by technocrats and professional politicians in Brussels or Strasbourg. Cultural identities in Europe have been eroded to such a point that saying Europe is based on Judeo-Christian values has become controversial. Criticism of Islam in Europe is treated as a form of racism, and Islamophobia is considered a crime or a sign of mental illness. Islam has not melted into a smooth multiculturalism. It is creating increasingly distressing problems that are almost never brought to light. Muslim criminality across Europe is high. Consequently, the percentage of Muslims in prisons in Europe is high. In France, which has the largest Muslim population in Europe, the prison population is 70% Muslim. Many European prisons have become recruitment centers for future jihadists. Muslim riots may occur for any reason, police upholding the law, a soccer league celebration, or in support of the cause. Welfare states have created a government-dependent class in Europe. And many people live permanently on social benefits. These people are often Muslim. Much of the time they are not assimilated and often show signs of not wanting to assimilate. Many reside in virtually autonomous so-called no-go zones in France, the UK, and Germany. Europe has renounced force to many. It therefore appears weak and vulnerable and easily able to be overpowered. Which is being exactly what is happening. Islam has the weapons. They sneak them in through their mosques. And the police have no weapons to fight back. A very big problem. Populations of Western Europe increasingly think that the dream society that had been promised has turned into a nightmare. The sudden and often brutal arrival of hundreds of thousands of more Muslims most likely prompts Europeans to think that the nightmare will get worse. They see, powerlessly, that the leaders speak and act as if they have no awareness of what is happening. Central European leaders and their people may have directly experienced authoritarian rule, seem to be thinking that entering the European Union was a huge mistake, which it was. I call on Poland, the Baltic states, and Hungary to leave the European Union. I also ask Italy to leave the European Union. When the Soviet Union collapsed, they became members of the EU and joined what was called the Free World. They do not seem willing to be subjected again to coercive decisions made by outsiders. After living under the Soviet yoke, they preserved their desire for freedom and self-government and evidently will not now agree to give them up. They know what submission to Islam could mean. Bulgaria, Romania were occupied by the Ottoman Empire until 1878. Hungary was under the boot of the Ottoman rule for more than 150 years. From 1541 to 1699, polls show that the majority of Muslims living in Europe want the application of Sharia law and clearly reject any idea of assimilation. Hundreds of thousands of Muslims living in Europe have joined fundamentalist Islamic organizations. Thousands have joined jihadist movements and are now fighting in Syria or Yemen. Many have returned and are ready to act against Europe. Illegal Muslim migrants are likely to join Muslims already living in Europe, and they will remain Muslim. They will live on social benefits until the bankruptcy of welfare states. They will reside in the no-go zones, and the no-go zones will continue to grow. Their occupants come from countries where Christians and women are mistreated. In Europe, they are already mistreating Christians and women. They come from countries where Western civilization is despised and where hatred of Jews is inescapable. And this remains so among Muslims already living in Europe. For more than two decades, almost all assaults against Jews in Europe were committed by Muslims. Many of those who arrived, according to European intelligence sources, are already radicalized. A project to overwhelm Europe by a huge wave of migrants was already described by the Islamic State. In documents discovered this February, it is hard to rule out that the Islamic State plays a role in what is happening. Turkish authorities are ignoring the massive departures taking place from their coast. If they really wanted the current process to stop, they could stop it. That is clearly not what they do. The Islamic State could not survive without Turkish help. Daily flights on Turkish Airlines bring illegal migrants to Istanbul. They continue unhindered to Europe. The Russians and their military intervention in Syria similarly does not seem interested in stopping what is occurring. Angela Merkel said in Strasbourg on October 7th that migrants entering Europe today are attracted to Europe. For the reasons European migrants who arrived in America a century ago were attracted to America. To realize a dream, presumably of an opportunity. In all 28 countries of the European Union, birth rates are low and the population is aging. People under 30 account for only 16% of the population. 80 million people the 22 Arab countries plus Turkey and Iran. People under 30 account for 70% of the population, or 350 million people. Jews are fleeing Europe in increasing numbers. Native Europeans are starting to flee as well. In 1972, in his book, The Camp of the Saints, French writer Jean Raspail described flooding Europe with Muslims, migrants crossing Mediterranean. At the time, the book was a work of fiction. Today, it is a reality. I'm posting the call number for see if our members in Ottoman Terrace want to call in. Anybody who has any questions, comments. So we have about 40 minutes left of the show, and we'd like to hear from you. Number is 323-870-4607, the international, plus 1-323-870-4607. We're talking about how Islam is taking over in Europe and how that could transfer to the United States if the Democrats get elected. So please call in 323-870-4607 +1-323-870-4607. Also, I want to make sure you join Ordo Militaris Catholicus so we can offer our Christian brothers help throughout the world. We are a small group of people right now, but if you join us, we can grow. And with your help, we can do more things than we have been doing. So go to ordo-militaris.us. Excuse me. I'm just going to wait here for a little bit. Keep yapping on. Anyway, if you haven't seen the movie The Day of the Siege, which most of us haven't even known it was even out there until the president of Ordo Militaris told me about it, how he watched it on YouTube. Well, I went searching, found it on Amazon. Or you can try to find it somewhere else if you don't want to use Amazon. Can't really miss it. Has the winged hussars on the front of it with their sword. Anyway, the man who plays Lesson Marco de Arviano is F. Murray Abraham. He's a Jewish actor, but you can't tell it here. He really does a great job playing Lesson Marco di Aviano. Well, 35 minutes left in the show. If you all want to call in and talk about Islamic takeover of Europe, if you're in Europe and you're witnessing what's going on, give us a call at +1-323-870-4607. Or if you're in the United States, Trump supporter, call us at 323-870-4607. Love to have you. Anyway, it's once the battle starts, it does get a graphic. And it's rated R for war violence. Other than that, it's not too bad. Few bad words, as you expect from them. Muslims calling ladies bad words. Here they label it fantasy. To the folks at Phase 4 Films, this movie is not fantasy, folks. It's real life. It happened. Never really read the back of the movie box until now. It's 114 minutes long, so 60 minutes plus 14, so not that long, about an hour or so. But yeah, the Phase 4 Films, who produced this movie and did this movie, it's not a fantasy, folks. It's real life, it's history, it actually happened. So interesting to see what they put on the back of those movie deals. So yeah, when the Muslim army takes off, one of the concubines in the Muslim general's army, has a vision about what will happen. So he goes to the soothsayer, tells the vision as if it was his. The soothsayer knew it somehow by demonic forces that it came from his concubine, his favorite one. So yeah. You learn a lot in this short, amazing film. You learn about Islam, how weak the emperor was in Austria, and the Polish actor who played the emperor did a really good job. Anyway, if anybody's listening, we'll talk about the Islamic takeover of Europe and how the globalists, friends of the Democrats, want to do the same thing to us in the United States. Call in 323-870-4607, +1 323-870-4607. About 30 minutes left in the show. This show is really important to get the facts out there about what is happening in Europe. Since we're broadcasting in the United States, we have the freedom to tell the truth, where if this was an international broadcast going on in Europe, it could be censored. Then again, it might be censored after the show is done in Germany or France or wherever. We'll find out either later today or tomorrow when the stats are updated if the show was censored any. The truth is needing to be told. So if no one's gonna call in, I'm gonna end it right here. Just shame our members in Ordo Maltese. Didn't wanna call in. I was hoping they would call in. Just talk about today's topic. Don't be afraid to call in, folks. Call Talk Radio. That's how it works. Well, this is Ordo Maltese Radio, signing off. Have a good rest of the morning, and a good rest of the day to you in Europe. Stay safe. Deus vult.